from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. This is our last day. This is the last show of 610 Sports Radio. We are going over to 96.5. We are going to be 96.5 The Fan starting tomorrow at 6 a.m. So I want to give you guys this little tidbit, this piece of information. However you are listening to the show right now, you will still be able to listen to the show that way tomorrow. So if you are somebody who likes the podcast, we'll be available on podcast, the same place you've been getting it from. If you like listening on the Odyssey app, you can listen that way as well. Let's say that you don't want to come over with us to 96.5 The Fan. Let's say that you want to stay over on the AM side. You can do that if you want. Rob, the show's going to be on both stations starting tomorrow. It's going to be on 96.5 FM. It's also going to be on 610 AM. Now, we're going to call it 96.5 The Fan on 610 AM, but if you want to stay over here, you are more than welcome to stay here. Rob and I are going over to the other side. We have crossed over. We're going to the other side. To quote Weezy and George, we're moving on up to the east side, to the deluxe apartment in the sky. That's what our plan is. I can't speak for what your plan is. I can just tell you what Carrington and Rob plan on doing. And Rob, at this time tomorrow, we're going to be on an all-new crispy FM signal on 96.5 The Fan. I'm excited about it. Hopefully you guys are excited about it. That is the plan, what we are doing at the station. Rob, I know that you love good 90s music. Maybe, you know, maybe more 90s pop, maybe a little rock, maybe a little rap, whatever it is. But deep down, all of us love 90s music. Do you remember that song by Mariah Carey, When a Hero Comes Along? You remember that song? Well, the Royals had something like that happen today for them. The Royals had lost the first two games of this series. This is a really important series. You were playing the team that is directly ahead of you in the standings. Now, you really needed to win this series. Well, you didn't win this series, but you were staring at a possible getting swept. You couldn't let that happen. You counted on Seth Lugo, and we'll talk about Seth Lugo because, Rob, you mentioned some of this yesterday on the show, and you got some pushback, and we will address that part of it. You didn't get the starts you wanted from Seth Lugo. You lost the series. You were looking to avoid the sweep. What the Royals really needed today, more than anything, was a quality start. They needed their best pitcher to go out there and stop the bleeding. You could not afford to get swept in this series. You know what Cole Reagans went out there and did today? He gave you 7 innings, 5 hits, 1 earned run. He struck out 8 and didn't allow a single walk. You also got a home run today from Bobby Witt Jr. The guys that you count on to stop the bleeding, the guys that you count on to help you avoid a losing streak, or can keep you on track, in line in this season. Those two guys came up big today. As you win this, you avoid the sweep. It was not a perfect series. It was not ideal, but you do avoid losing three games in a row to a very important opponent. We now move on down the line. We will see Minnesota again at some point, but you could not lose three in a row. Cole Ragans was the hero that the Royals needed today.
It was a theme on the postgame show a little bit with Vern between callers, and I think Q was asked about it, and even Vern brought it up. Cole Ragans was the stopper. Cole Ragans was the, hey, it ends now. I'm Eric Carrington, and me and you were kids. The Royals spent all that money on Gilmesh, a different player who wears number 55. And the thought was, hey, he's going to be the stopper. The Royals need a top end of the rotation guy, because when they go on 3-4 game losing skids, you got to have a stopper who comes in, pitches great, and goes and ends the skid. That is not how it ended up long term with Gilmesh. They have that in Cole Ragans. They have that, okay, two's enough losses. I'm not having to take a third. He was sensational today. Seven strong innings against, let's be honest, a very good Twins opponent. If the playoffs started tomorrow, I would have Cole Ragans start game one, because he is that dude, and he basically by himself willed the Royals to a victory today, because he gave up what? He gave up none. The Royals gave up one as a team. You're not losing a lot of games only giving up one run. So Cole Ragans was the stopper that how many players have me and you seen in our childhood we were promised? Cole Ragans is actually that guy.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of those guys. I want to continue to play this Vern cut at least for this series, because I think it's really important. And really, to me, was the soundbite that defines this. How realistic do you see them winning the division? If you are someone that still has them in the division conversation, that took a big hit this week. You had a chance to pass Minnesota in the standings if you won this series. And Minnesota did what they've done basically this entire year. They've just beat up on you. You guys have played them 10 times, and you have lost seven of those. The Twins have done exactly what they need to do against you. That's why they are ahead of you in the American League Central. That's why they have a better chance of winning the division than the Kansas City Royals. Vern said this a couple of days ago, and it keeps and continues to play in my mind when you and I discuss this team, at least in relation to this series.
Solely focused on the division. Because to me, this whole the past month has been strange. Some of the sentiment I'm hearing from Royals fans, come on. Yeah, you beat up on the White Sox and the Tigers, but do you know your record against everyone else? Who cares? You're in the American League Central. You know, it's not the Royals' fault that the Yankees and the Astros don't have 13 cracks at the White Sox. The Cleveland Guardians, they have 13 chances, and they're 5-5 against Chicago so far. The Royals have dominated Chicago. They've won the season series from Detroit. They've taken 4 of 6 from Cleveland, and they have a chance to even up the season series with Minnesota beginning tonight. Understandably, we praise Andy Reid for his domination of the AFC West, consistently winning that division. That is the goal. That's how you guarantee some home games at Kauffman Stadium. It's a joke to me how often I'm hearing people go, all right, a third wild card, the Royals hanging on to the third wild card by a game. And the third wild card is nothing.
That was Josh Vernier. The Royals' last three series win have been against the White Sox, have been against the Tigers, and at the early part of July, you remember they won the two games against the St. Louis Cardinals. So those are their last three series win. We don't have to rehash the entire conversation. The series against Minnesota is over. We know where you stand. You are going to leave Minnesota a game and a half back. So you have left Minnesota, I guess, worse off than when you got there. You were a half game back. You now leave a game and a half back. Very simply put, the Royals got to start winning these series. We can have the conversation about enjoying the ride, and we absolutely are enjoying the ride. It's fun that we are having these kinds of conversations. But over the course of the last 2 months, the Royals just haven't won a series like this in some time. You have beat up on the White Sox. You have beat up on the Tigers. You did what you needed to do against St. Louis, but you have had a couple of opportunities against good teams and important series, and you have lost them. So I hear what Vern is saying, and I think what Vern is saying is a very, very fair point. But until the Royals start to cash these tokens in and start to cash these chips in, it is just going to be impossible for you to beat the charges. You're not going to beat the allegations. The perception around some people is you beat up on the White Sox, but you don't act like that against anybody else. This was an important series to kind of showcase that. You played Minnesota. We felt like you had your three best pitchers that were going on the mound. That same thing was the case in the Boston series. You lost that series 2-1. You also lost this series. So it is going to be a ride for this team the rest of the way. There's going to be some highs. There's going to be some lows. I continue to caution you guys. You can't get too high about this thing. You can't get too low about this thing. It is going to be frustrating at times. But if the Royals are going to be able to hold these teams off and be able to really accomplish these things, at some point you got to win these series. And when you have a series like Boston at home with your three best pitchers, you got to find a way to win that one. When you got a chance against Minnesota to directly make up some of the ground that you have lost, you got to figure out a way to win this series. I will maintain my position. I've told you this for a couple of months now. I'm looking at the wild card. The Royals got me to peek over to the standings in the American League Central. They were 4 games back not that long ago. That is a very manageable deficit. Over the course of the last 2 weeks, they have lost to the team that was directly behind them in the wild card race in Boston. They lost to the team that is directly ahead of them in the American League Central and the wild card race in the Minnesota Twins. So I am all for the roller coaster and not getting too high and low and enjoying the ride. They got a lot of these series coming up. And so far in the month of August, in the two big stretches that they've had to kind of beat the, they can only beat the White Sox, you have Boston at home and you went on the road to play Minnesota and you have lost both of those series.
It might be good. It might be bad. I heard Vern refer to this as the riptide of the season. Carrington,
really quickly, I would argue that they're not even there at that point yet. I know the stretch that you were talking about the riptide of the season. I don't even think they're at that point yet. I think that point happens in a couple of weeks.
It's a week away.
Yeah, so really quick. So this is the stretch that I think you would consider the riptide. I mean, this is exactly 10 days from now. They play Philadelphia for 3 games, Cleveland for 4, Houston for 4, Cleveland for 3, Minnesota for 3, and the Yankees for 3. They got a stretch of about 2.5 weeks of 3 weeks where they play all playoff teams. So we can have the conversation about, oh, hey, it's still time. You can't get too high. You can't get too low about this thing. And that is all fair. They have 5 consecutive really important series back to back to back to back to back. You got to figure out a way to start clawing out some victories here. Or in those 4-game series, you got 2. You got 2 against Cleveland and you got 1 against Houston. At a minimum, you got to split those series. You can't continue to afford. If you're going to hold on to this thing, by definition, holding on is you continue to gain ground on your team or maintain your position. You went into a series against the Red Sox. They closed in on the lead. You had a chance to overtake the Minnesota Twins and be in second place in the division. And you were further out of second place than you were than the week began.
That's my point. And you said it perfectly. In that 20-game stretch, which is the riptide of the season, as Vern calls it, we will know. And after that 20 games, they will play, I believe it's a road game against the Pirates is the end of that stretch. By the way, the Pirates are no pushover, but let's just say they're not a playoff team the way those other 20 teams are. When you are through that and they play a Friday night game against the Pirates, we'll know if they're a playoff team or not. Because if you go 5-15 in that stretch, if you go 6-14, if you are playing not just sub-500, but losing all of those series, you're not a playoff team. The record will reflect that. The standings will reflect that. The eye test will reflect that. We will know. They'll be ripped out to sea, and the season's over. And that's, I believe that's the Pirate series is the week leading into the week 2 of the NFL season. We'll know. Hey, it's over. But if they go 500 or just under 500, just over 500 in that stretch, and they just tread water, they're probably a playoff team because the schedule's going to even up. If somehow, some way, I wouldn't bet this, they get hot in that stretch, that's when we can re-talk about the AL Central. When it's, September 7th or 6th or whatever that date is, and we're talking about Royals and Pirates, and they go, 13-7 in that stretch, the AL Central is back very much in play. But that window, that moment, is what will define the Royals' season. The good news is you have 6 games to pad your standings before it because you have the Reds and the Angels. But that is the wave that will do or undo the Royals' season.
Coming up on the other side, let's switch gears here. We're going to bounce back and forth over the course of the next couple hours between the Chiefs and the Royals. Both continue to be major stories in the world of sports here in Kansas City. Coming up on the other side, I'm not 100% certain that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to make the team. Let's talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Tomorrow, we will no longer be 610 Sports Radio. We will be 96.5 The Fan. The show is going to be the same. It's just we're going to call it a slightly different thing. I made this analogy. I would think of it like Sierra Mist. It was Sierra Mist for a long time, and then one day we woke up, and they were calling it Starry. I'm sure you have the same thought process I had. Yo, what is Starry? I don't know what it is. It's the same Sierra Mist you've been drinking. They put it in a new can. The can was very nice. It was very shiny. They updated the can a little bit. That's what we're doing here at 610 Sports Radio. Tomorrow, the show is going to sound the exact same. It's just we're going to call it something a little bit different. It's just going to be on a different station, 96.5 The Fan. Rob, I know that you love talking about running backs. So we'll get back to the Royals here in a bit, but I know how much you love talking about running backs, so I'm happy to do that. Are we 100% certain that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is making this team? Because I bring this up. He is not going to help them in special teams. He is not going to be their kick or their punt returner. He also is not very valuable in the passing game. Now, I know he was in college at LSU, but at least playing with the Kansas City Chiefs, he has not been a guy that they have used in the screen game. He has not been a guy that they have really given a whole lot of opportunities to in the pass game. I mean, even when he was their number one running back, the most yards receiving he has had in a year is 297. So he has never been a great catch the ball out of the backfield option for the Chiefs. So you don't help them on special teams. You are not a great pass catching receiver. You also, the argument for you on the team is not that you're great in pass pro. And I mean, this is how this week has gone for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He had 2 carries for 0 yards in the Jacksonville game. So far this week, he has missed every day of practice. Now, I don't know what is wrong with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Maybe they have said and I missed it, and I certainly apologize if that is the case with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But every day, there is more and more momentum toward Carson Steele. And they are continuing to give him second running back reps in this absence. This is how NFL players get their job took. You're hurt. You haven't been playing incredibly well. A cheaper, younger, possibly more explosive and more productive player comes out of nowhere. We were not talking about Carson Steele 3 weeks ago, a month ago. He has now been the talk of camp. He has been the story of camp. I think there's a chance that their 3 running backs are Isaiah Pacheco, Carson Steele, and Denarik Prince, and they move on from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It certainly would be very cheap to do so. He is off of his rookie contract. So sure, it would cost you a little bit to move on from Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but he signed a 1-year, $1.7 million deal. They gave him a $200,000 signing bonus, and they guaranteed 1.3 of his deal. So that is certainly money that they would have to eat. They would have to eat that $1.35 million. That is nothing in an NFL sense. And if you think that Carson Steele is a better option for you and more of a long-term viable option, you will not – at this point, we know Carson Steele is making the team. There is no doubt in my mind that he is going to be on the team. The question is, are they just going to be a completely youth movement and have Isaiah Pacheco, Carson Steele, and Denarik Prince and move on from Clyde Edwards-Helaire, or are they going to just keep those 3 and try to keep Denarik Prince on practice squad?
I think, first and foremost, we were talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire on the business side, because I understand that he's being listed right now as out with an illness, and I know earlier, I believe it was me, Saturday of last week or Sunday of last week, he spoke to the media and he opened up about having PTSD from a trauma he experienced earlier in his life. I don't know if that's why he's missing practice. They just listed it as illness. So on a personal level, if that is what Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going through and his illness is in fact the PTSD he talked about earlier with the media, I do feel for him. On the business side, though, it is concerning that he might not make the roster, because as much as Carson Steele has shown a nice little something, a nice little, hey, there might be something there with this guy. I mean, you mentioned yesterday, he made average 5 yards a carry at UCLA last year. And by the way, the Pac-12 had a team in the national title game. So the Pac-12 was a good football conference in 2023. That is a nice player to have. But Carrington, what do we talk all offseason about? Running back 3, which is a sign of how strong the Chiefs roster was. But we were talking about who's going to be the third guy. If Clyde Edwards-Helaire gets bumped out of running back 2 because Carson Steele has shown he can be that guy, do you trust Denarik Prince to be running back 3? Has Denarik Prince showed you anything in the preseason that says, hey, that's running back 3? This is Denarik Prince's 2nd preseason with the Kansas City Chiefs, which means he will be going into his 5th preseason game this weekend. Do you remember at all anything about Denarik Prince? Because other players in that same pantheon, hey, battling for a roster spot, trying to steal a 3rd string position, the Derek Gores of the world. Sometimes they make plays in the preseason and you remember it. Nothing about Denarik Prince's time in Kansas City is memorable. So he might be better than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I don't know. He might have higher upside, but he has done nothing to steal running back three away from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, for better or worse, is a player they have trusted at every turn in his tenure in Kansas City.
I guess I would counter with this and ask you this question. Has Clyde Edwards-Helaire done anything this season to keep running back three on his... I mean, last year he ran for 3.2 yards per carry. He wasn't effective in the preseason game, and he's currently not practicing. Now, I don't know why he is not there. I remember him telling the story, but he didn't play in the preseason game. So I'm not here to make assumptions or on anything on why Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not at practice. Could you see them possibly putting him on IR for the year so you don't have to cut him? He's still around the team. You put him on IR for a year. You continue to work with him. We like you, Clyde. We just got to move in a business direction. Could you see them possibly doing that?
Here's my question, and this is maybe ignorance by me. I do not know the NFL injury rules to the level that maybe I should. Can you IR a player for what we believe could be a mental illness? Because he's listed right now as illness, and we know he talked about PTSD. If there is not an injury, which injury report right now does not list him with broken leg, it says illness. Can you have him IR'd for that? Because think of IR things in the past. Players that have been out for the year. Justin Ross was out his first year in the IR from repercussions of his foot surgery. They listed him as foot. Can you list him as illness and have him miss the whole season? I honestly don't know.
I don't have an answer to that either, but you remember the running joke around the Kansas City Chiefs where at the end of preseason, they would figure out a way to keep Tyler Bray on the roster. You remember, we would laugh and joke about it. Tyler Bray was at every practice, was at preseason. Then magically, right before the season start, something would happen to Tyler Bray for them to keep him on the roster. If you want to keep Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and you want to keep him in the fold, keep him in the organization, you like having him around, you can figure out a way to keep him. I am not certain today. I'm not certain that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is one of the three best running backs on the team. I'm not 100%. I know he's not their best running back. I think the Chiefs also like Carson Steele a lot. Like, the thing about Carson Steele that I keep trying to highlight is we are not talking about some guy that kind of came out of nowhere. We are not talking about a guy that went to South Dakota State that nobody knows. He played football last year at UCLA. He played football last year at UCLA and had 5.1 yards per carry. We talk about how running back is replaceable and how you can find diamond in the roughs. If you were looking for one of those players, wouldn't it be like Carson Steele? If you were a team and you found money, so to speak, if you found that 20 in your pocket right before you went to the laundry, wouldn't it be a guy that played at UCLA, a guy that played at Clemson, a guy that played at Florida State, didn't get drafted, you picked him up, and he was way better than people thought he was going to be? Those players happen every single year in the National Football League. Is it possible that the Chiefs have that player on the team? Remember a couple of years ago, the year they drafted Isaiah Pacheco, Brett Veach said, there is going to be a 1,000-yard rusher that either happens in the seventh round or goes undrafted. They called it. We talk a lot how the Chiefs know at corner that they are able to find market inefficiencies at corner. And that's how you get Lejarius Sneed. That's how you get Charvarius Ward. That's how you get Joshua Williams and Nazi Johnson. What if they can do that at running back too? They did it once with Isaiah Pacheco. I'm not saying that's who Carson Steele is going to be, but could Carson Steele, a guy who he ran for 1,500 yards at Ball State, he then transferred to UCLA. He ran for almost 900 yards at UCLA. Could he be a guy that if you give him an opportunity to be your number two running back, runs for 500 yards this year? That story of Carson Steele happens every single year in the National Football League. Why couldn't it happen on the Chiefs?
And it's in a position where it happens more frequently than not. Like, one of the reasons why I'm painted as the hate running back guy is obviously because I hate the position. But on top of that is because it is a dime a dozen position. Like, Carson Steele's emergence or potential emergence highlights what I've been saying about the position for so long. Those guys exist at running back. Seventh round pick Isaiah Pacheco, undrafted guy Carson Steele. If I went through everyone's depth chart right now in the NFL, I bet there is a Carson Steele type story on a lot of guys' depth chart right now. Who was the Cowboys player last year? Not Deuce Vaughn, the other guy they brought in the draft that played meaningful snaps last year behind Tony Pollard.
The Rico Dowd guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's still there, yeah.
They have, every roster has a Carson Steele type of guy. It would not surprise me if the Chiefs found something in Carson Steele because he's shown something, and it's a position where you do tend to lose your job to the cheaper, more, you know, younger guy.
So keep it right here. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio. You guys can text in if you want, 913-586-7610. That is 913-586-7610. We're going to bounce back and forth between the Chiefs and the Royals. Let's get back to the Royals. Rob, you said yesterday on the show you wonder if Seth Lugo is starting to hit a wall. I think we can have that conversation. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
You are listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. A couple of you have a question. CDOT, is the text line number going to be the same tomorrow? I actually don't have the answer to that. I don't know the answer to that. Rob, you management now. Do you know the answer to this? Is the phone line going to be the exact same tomorrow as it is now, or are we just taking over the 96.5 number?
You know, I wish I knew the answer to that. I honestly don't know either.
Okay, no, I don't know.
Let me sift through some emails here and get the answer to that question.
I know we haven't had it in the email. We've got a lot of emails. I would have seen it if that was in there. So I don't have an answer for you guys. I wish that I did have an answer. Why don't we text our boss and maybe try to find out between now and the end of the show, and then we can tell you guys. Everything I've told you is what I know about all of this. There is no bit of information that I have been keeping from you guys. Everything you know about the move to 96.5, I also know about the move to 96.5. It is no different at my job than it is at your job. The company tells you you're doing something. You're like, all right, I guess that's what we're doing. I'm excited about it, but I don't know a whole lot about it. 913-586-7610. So if you guys are just tuning in and you don't know, you don't have the information yet, this is the last show on 610 Sports Radio. After we sign off, 610 Sports Radio, done. Tomorrow, when Fesco comes on, it will now be 96.5 The Fan. Now, I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to fret. However you are listening to the show now, you also will be able to listen to the show tomorrow. So if you don't want to come over with us, you don't. If you don't want to come over, you don't have to. You can stay right here. That's not where I'm going to be or Rob's going to be, but you can stay here and still listen to the show. You also can check out the podcast page if you would like to. You can do all of those things if you would like to. You really can. But I would just encourage you that tomorrow it is going to be 96.5 The Fan. That is what we are going to be calling ourselves tomorrow if you are interested in that kind of thing.
By the way, I have been alerted. We will have a new text line and calling number tomorrow.
Okay, all right.
There we go. We learned something.
Do we know
today.
The number? Do we even know what the number is for tomorrow? I don't know if we know what the number is.
Waiting on a text back, but it does look like we're going to have a new number tomorrow. So by 6 o'clock, we got to erase 586 whatever out of our head. I'm just doing it now. I'm getting it out of my brain.
Someone on the text line says, it sounds like you guys need to get your crap together with this whole move. Bro, I don't know. I don't know why you guys think that my job is that much different than yours. If your boss telling you do something, you just, yeah, okay. I don't know much more about this than you guys. I've known about this for less than a week. I don't know too much more about this than you guys, though, when it comes to all this. I just work here. I don't know what kind of company policies they got going on downstairs. I just try to make sure that my key card keep working. I'm just trying to make sure me and Rob are good. And I try to make sure I'm good. I try to make sure Rob is good. And then third, I try to make sure that y'all good. You know, that's third. I say the listener come first. Y'all not paying none of these bills at the crib. So I come first. Then Rob second. And then I try to make sure that you guys are all fine. That's just the kind of the hierarchy of how these things work around here. All right, Rob, back to very serious things. When we do have an answer to it, I will certainly pass you guys the answer whenever I have it. You came on the show yesterday. And you said that you were worried about Seth Lugo and that you thought he could be hitting his ceiling. Now, I think it is important to note with Seth Lugo that I think this is a very important part of the story. We have now sped past his usage, so to speak. The most innings that he had ever pitched in a season was last year. He pitched 146 innings for the San Diego Padres. This year, he has pitched 159 innings with the Royals, and he is speeding towards 200. The most starts he had ever made was last year. He made 16 starts. He is now in line. He has 25 starts. We would assume that he is going to make more than 26 starts. Let me knock on wood that he doesn't get injured between now and then. You said this before his start, and his start yesterday was not very good. They are going to need Seth Lugo down the stretch. Are you worried about the Royals All-Star as these games continue to get more and more important? And how this team got in this position was their starting rotation was just simply better than yours. It changes if you can't rely on Seth Lugo down the stretch.
So I would say when I talked yesterday, I was before Seth Lugo's start, I was inching toward concerned because, as you rightly pointed out, yes, there have been some bad stretches. However, there have been some really good ones in that last five games. Well, that last five games now includes last night's bad start. Disastrous seems harsh, but it was trending that way. I am now concerned about Seth Lugo. Now, I'm not concerned the fact that he's going to turn into 2006 Ronelvis Hernandez and just runs are going to come falling from the sky at all point. And either it's 6, 7, 8 runs every time he takes the hill. You better score 9 or you're screwed. I don't feel that way. But I think it's now noticeable that as his innings are picking up and his starts are picking up, more so than at any point in his career previous, he is starting to show a little sign of wear and tear. And we talked at the jump of the show about that riptide coming for the Royals. It is concerning to me that what has been your best pitcher is starting to show some wear and tear in your most important stretch. Now, he will get a start against the Angels. That's the way the schedule is going to shake out. Good for him. Hopefully, he has a chance to get right against the Angels so that when he enters that stretch as a starting pitcher, the Royals have those 20 straight games against playoff teams, he gets back closer to right. But I think the days of him, I forget who it was against, going the complete game, giving up one or no runs, I think those days may be an April, May, June, July experience and not an August, September experience. I don't think he's going to be bad, but I think the days of him being, whoa, that's a Cy Young guy, might be over for this season.
Can they make the playoffs if that's the case?
They would need really good Michael Wacha, and they would need Cole Reagans to keep being Cole Reagans. But yes, they can. It gets tougher, but yes.
Now, I bring that up, and we are again talking about a very limited sample, so I don't want to paint this like it's been a lot of time. But in the last 4 starts for Seth Lugo, so I mean, it's a little bit of time. I mean, this is from July 27th, so it's, I mean, a little decent sample size. We're talking about, I mean, almost 25 innings. He has pitched 23 2/3 innings. He has given up 24 hits, 18 earned runs, 13 strikeouts, and 9 walks. He has an ERA of 6.85, so that is every start since that White Sox start. You remember that White Sox start, he was pretty incredible. I mean, that's kind of been it, honestly, for Seth Lugo. He was not good back in on July 13th when they played the Boston Red Sox. He had a good start against Detroit a couple of weeks ago where he was really, really good. These last couple of starts out there, he's just been bad. He did not give them a chance to win yesterday. Where you expect in this series, and we said this, one reason why you were picking the Royals to win this series or why you feel good about it was they had their 3 best starting pitchers. It's not a surprise. On one day, they got great starting pitching. They won that day. On the other 2 days, they got very disappointing starting pitching that just really didn't give them a chance to win. Lugo gave you no chance to win yesterday. And on Monday, Brady Singer gives up 6 runs in the 2nd inning. You lost for the day.
Can I ask you a question that's kind of in this same vein, been weighing on my mind about Seth Lugo? Because I remember, I believe it was 2008 or 2009, Gilmesh threw a complete game against the Diamondbacks, and he threw 132 pitches. And you can look back at his baseball reference page, click game logs, and you can look at Gilmesh's career. Hey, that 132-pitch complete game was an awesome moment for everyone, but after that, it was over. His arm was cooked. He was basically done. Now, credit to Gilmesh, he eventually gave money back to the organization, but he was not the same pitcher he was following that moment. Seth Lugo was awesome. Complete game, only gave up the one run. He dominated the White Sox on July 21st. Since then, it's been a little bit of diminishing returns. Now, he only threw 103 pitches in his complete game, so it's not an exact one-for-one. He didn't throw 130-plus like Gilmesh did. But part of my concern with Seth Lugo is we all know how people handle arms and handle pitch counts and things of that nature in baseball nowadays. It's why complete games are so rare. It's why it was cool Seth Lugo did it. But since doing it, he's gotten beat around a little bit. It has to be a little bit concerning to people. I can't be alone to think that complete game was a cool moment, but post July 21, Seth Lugo's not been the same player.
We'll get back to sports here coming up in a bit. I hope that you guys know that just the random points that we usually make on this show, they are also coming with us. I have a hot take, Rob, that I would like to share with you. I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but it feels like a hot take. Today, we lost Famous Amos. You guys know. His name is Willie Amos. I'm sure you've seen his cookies. I'm sure you had them at some point. He was just a young black entrepreneur from Seattle, Washington that created this cookie. The world loved his cookies. He passed away today. He died at 88 years old. RIP to Famous Amos. Famous Amos are better than Oreos. Is this a hot take that I feel this way? Is this a consensus? Now, I know that Oreos are more popular than Famous Amos. I'm not denying that. Oreos, the most famous cookie in the world. If you were telling me right now, would I rather have a sleeve of Oreos or a bag of Famous Amos cookies? I'd rather have Famous Amos cookies. I'd rather have Chips Ahoy cookies over Oreos. Oreos are a little bit overrated. They are not bad by any means. They are not bad. With Oreos, though, you kind of need the milk. You know what Oreos are? They're Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is great.
Oh, no, nope, 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 nope.
That's what Oreos are.
Stop.
Oreos
are Brock.
Oreos are Brock Purdy. When you put Brock Purdy with Christian McCaffrey, he's incredible. If you put Brock Purdy with Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk, oh, it's good. You want to know how Famous Amos is good? They don't have to do all that goofy stuff. They got to give you double stuffed Oreos. They got to give you rainbow Oreos. They got to give you lemon meringue pie Oreos because they don't trust their original recipe. That's what it is. It just hit me. Oreos are Brock Purdy. There's nothing wrong with being Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is going to make $200-something million. Brock Purdy is taking his team to a Super Bowl. Brock Purdy's great. He's a system guy. Oreos, they are a system quarterback. I can't believe I never thought of this.
So, just a comically wrong cookie take.
I'm telling you, that's what it is.
Do you even eat cookies with that level of take? Here's the thing, and first and foremost, RIP to Famous Amos.
RIP.
RIP. No one goes to the grocery store on a late night cookie run being like, you know what I'm jonesing for? Famous Amos. It is the third pick at best all day. When you are in the cookie area, when you're at your local Hy-Vee or whatever your grocery store is, and you're staring at all the cookies, do you know what you're not doing? Being walking right past the Oreos and Chip Ahoy cookies to head toward Famous Amos.
See, no,
Famous
this is
Amos is like, on. Hey, I'm at the checkout at, you know, a store, or it's the end of the school day and it's in a vending machine. I guess I'll get it.
No, but hold no on, one, no, hold on.
No
here.
One goes
you're
to the
being
grocery.
Out of pocket.
No one puts on their grocery list when they head to their local Hy-Vee. Boy, do I need some Famous Amos cookies. Stop it.
Okay, because this is why. This is okay. I'm happy we're going down this road. That's because Famous Amos is mobile. That's why. Famous Amos has some mobility. You're right. You don't go to the grocery store to buy Famous Amos cookies. You don't go there. That's where you get your Oreos. That's where you get your Chips Ahoy. That's where you get all of those things, right? That's where you get them. But you know when you're on the run and you look at that vending machine and you see all of those options and A3 is just staring at you. Is looking at you right there. A3. Boop, boop. Oh, for a good 125, you get a good 8-9 cookies out of the deal. It's great.
So you're
hating the fact that It's mobile, that it can win the game on the run. That's what you're hating on.
The only reason anyone eats a Famous Amos cookie is because they're on the run. They're at the gas station.
Good.
They're at the gas station and it's there. They're at a vending machine and it's there. When they are given the plethora of options, when the whole world opens up, when it's, your quarterback analogy, draft time, no one's drafting Brock Purdy. You know what they're drafting? Patrick Mahomes. That's an Oreo cookie. So your whole, you know, premise, your whole, hey, I think they're good, is the idea that they're basically the sour cream and cheddar chips version of cookies. Hey, no one orders a giant bag of Ruffles sour cream and cheddar chips, but you know what? When they're at the vending machine, they're a popular pick. That's what Famous Amos is. It's only good in small doses, and I have it in my glove, in my little cup holder, because I'm heading on a trip. I'm never, ever, ever seeking them out at home base.
Now the text line says, CDOT, what about grandma cookies? Grandma cookies are better than Oreo cookies. They're better. Oreo cookies are, they're okay. They're fine. They're Brock Purdy.
Someone says it perfectly. Famous Amos or hospital cookies? You're stuck.
Yo.
You're at the hospital, whoa, and you have nothing else to eat, and who that's said, a cookie.
Who said that right now? I'm blocking them. That's what
I'm going to give him a pizza. Good take.
Who said this right now? I'm blocking you on the, if you call Famous Amos hospital cookies on this show on the day the man passed away, you're getting blocked. You're not coming to 96.5 The Fan. You staying over here. How dare you disrespect Famous Amos like that? How dare you do that? I can't believe, and you had the audacity to read it.
Because it's a great text. In the, you know what?
You've been acting different since you got that promotion. This is a highlight. You've been acting different.
I haven't been here the whole time.
Rob would have never disrespected Famous Amos cookies this way.
I haven't been here the entire time 610 existed. But I can tell you, that's probably a top five text we've ever received.
Someone,
top two, maybe.
Someone said there. Someone said Famous Amos are funeral home cookies, bro. Yo, I'm telling, I got your phone number. Don't be surprised if I pull up. We got to have fisticuffs after that. How dare you disrespect Famous Amos this way?
That's the kind of listener I want when we move to the FM dial.
How dare you talk about
it? I don't want someone that's like, man, I love Red Lobster and Famous Amos. You can stay on the AM side with your poverty people. Come over to the FM.
You guys are really defending Alex Smith like that. I've never heard a more passionate defense of Alex Smith than you guys are doing right now for Oreos. System quarterback. You got to have milk. You know what? The way that you guys describe eating Oreos is the way people describe In-N-Out. Oh, I mean, in order to like it, you got to dip it in the milk, and then you got to untwist it, and you got to lick it and stick. It's too much to enjoy Oreos. No one enjoys just grabbing an Oreo out of the packaging, biting into an Oreo. I'm telling you, that's why they got to do all those gimmicks. They got Oreo Thin. They got Birthday Cake Oreo. They got all these different ones. No, you know what Famous Amos is giving you? They're giving you a nice four-seam fastball right down the middle every single time. Consistency is always good. Chocolate to chip ratio is always good. Just an A1 stellar cookie. It might be number one on the power rankings of cookies.
Have you ever wondered why when you go to the gas station at the front, that sleeve, that area is always full? Because no one filling up at Quick Trip's like, you know what? I'll take a bag of Famous Amos, because that's a red flag. Someone is in danger. What is happening? A sociopath is on the loose. No one has sought out a Famous Amos cookie. No, they have not. When you go to the mall, you have the full food court. You get a Mrs. Fields cookie, and you're having the best day of your life. You've never been like, hey, I'm on a road trip. You know what I want? Famous Amos and a Gatorade. Sicko.
Somebody on the text line is actually really funny right now. Someone said that Famous Amos, they're the official cookie of every blood drive. Someone else said, I sure love Famous Amos when I'm on a plane. Yo, I don't know what's going on right now. I don't know why we're talking this way about Famous Amos. You guys haven't been this disrespectful since Dippin' Dots. You guys haven't been this disrespectful. We're not doing this to Famous Amos. RIP to the GOAT. RIP to the legend. He passed away today at 88 years old, man. That's a blessing. Lived to 88 years old. His cookies started being sold worldwide. People love him. Congratulations to Willie Amos, who passed away today. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to very serious sports things. The Royals won. The Chiefs, they continue to get ready for preseason game number 2. We also have Henry Lake is going to join us on the show as well. We'll recap the Twins, and we'll also talk about the top story in the NFL. J.J. McCarthy tore his meniscus. He is out for the entire 2024 season. There's a lot of news happening right now in Minnesota. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.